The Dodgers are going back to the World Series, and we might have seen the greatest baseball game in the playoffs ever played by Shohei Ohtani. It was amazing. I'm speechless. So are you. And we're back. It is Deferred Collusion. It's me, Jesse Rowe, King of Crespi, joined as always by Brandon Bullinger of Paramount of the South Bay in Los Angeles, California. Brandon, the Dodgers are going back to the dance, but is that even really the top story right now?
Jesse, we are riding high, Daddy-O. Almost as high as that 469-foot moonshot. Mm-hmm. By everybody's favorite baseball player, that is Shohei Ohtani, the undisputed GOAT of the world, having the best day at work just about anybody, any pitcher has ever had that didn't throw a perfect game. Jesse, 3 home runs, 6 shutout innings, 10 strikeouts. I mean, is his name Maximus Decimus Meridius, dude? Because are you not entertained, Jesse Rowe? I mean, it's like, doesn't it just kind of feel like he just saw his boy Yama shove, and then he sees Snell shove? You know, it's this, he sees these two inarguably like legendary pitching performances and goes, you know what? Hold my fucking sake, Kemosabe. I'm sending this one to fucking Mars, dude. I don't know. I don't know what to say other than Jose Quintana, it's nice to meet your father.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani. Jesse, I mean, that's as much peacocking as I could do. It's just, I'm utterly flabbergasted. It is the single greatest baseball just performance, like all in all, I've ever seen. And I don't got enough glaze to go around, let me tell you.
So for people that are living under a rock right now, Shohei Ohtani pitched tonight. He pitched 6 innings, 2 hits, 0 runs, 3 walks, 10 strikeouts. He got the win. It sends the Dodgers to the World Series. Oh, and by the way, he hit not one, not two, but 3 home runs, and he got on base all 4 times, by the way. So he had a perfect night, basically.
Curse is broken.
Yeah, right?
Curse is broken, people. Curse is broken.
And by the way, he was just named the NLCS MVP simply because of this one game. I'm in a group chat with some Dodger friends, and we were texting. We were like, so who gets the MVP, you think? You think they like do like maybe Snell or Yamamoto, maybe like a combo of the two? Because nobody had really nobody had a great series offensively. It was more of a team effort. Like the runs were kind of coming for a little bit from everybody. I don't know who they would have given it to. So I thought maybe it would go to a pitcher. And then Ohtani, who was probably having like the worst offensive playoffs of any Dodger, just comes out and has the game of the playoffs for any player of all time. And it's like
all time.
Once he does that, you're like, well, yeah, okay, you're the MVP. I mean, what are we gonna say?
You know, it got a little silly quick, didn't it? I mean, and Jess, you know, there was a stat that came out at the end of the game that Ohtani had more home runs than hits allowed tonight, and that is unreal. But you said something about it being a team sport, and I'm glad you did, because Jesse, not only did Shohei Ohtani have more home runs hit tonight than he allowed hits, but Shohei Ohtani hit more home runs tonight than the entirety of the Dodgers starting pitching staff allowed in 4 games. It's unreal that we're in an NLCS. Shohei Ohtani hits 3 home runs, and the Dodgers starting pitching staff only allows 1 home run off the bat of Jackson Chourio.
How many home runs has the Dodgers pitching staff allowed this postseason? I mean, Series. Yeah, I know Yama gave up one to Schwarber in the Philly series. I know
Kershaw gave up one to Schwarber.
But that's not a starting pitcher. That was out of relief. Oh, starting pitchers.
Sorry, I thought we were just talking pitchers.
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, Shohei like essentially matched, you know, what the offense. Like, let's put it this way. Shohei nearly matched the offensive output of the entire Brewers team this series. Shohei was responsible for 3 runs tonight. The Brewers scored 4 runs in this series. That is just crazy. And that's a testament to the Dodgers staff, which I do want to get to. I'm sorry. So my cat was trying to get into the room. Did you read the stat about Ohtani's the first player in MLB history to hit 2+ as a pitcher in a postseason game? Is that what you just read?
No, I did not, but I love it. Run with it.
Okay, sorry. So my cat was coming in the room. You were going through my headphones, so I had to step good, away dude. For a second. Ohtani is the first player in Major League history to hit 2+ homers as a pitcher in a postseason game, according to ESPN. He's also the first MLB player with more home runs. You just did this. Yeah, okay,
I did the bottom half of that. I didn't.
Okay,
do
got it. Yeah,
the top one, which you're hitting. Yeah.
So the Dodgers scored 1 run each game. I mean, I don't really even want to move on from Ohtani, but it's like, kind of, what are you going to say at this point? The guy is amazing. I mean, it seems to me like I noticed that he was having some good at bats coming out of those first couple of games where he was really struggling. He led off with a triple yesterday. He hit the ball hard a couple of times, but then he was still struggling against lefties. This feels like the game that's kind of reminded the baseball world, oh, this is their biggest fears kind of came true tonight. Like, what happens when Ohtani actually turns it on? Because he's had a really bad postseason so far, and this is what happens when he turns it on. He takes the game over and he wins it on his own.
Jesse, you know the old adage, wait till your father gets home. Well, guess what? Daddy's home.
He is.
Dude. He's hitting dingers, which is just so fun. And he's pumping 100 in the zone. And, let me double check that. Oh, that's double-digit Ks on the night.
Sorry. You may want to step
Ruth's
just like
a bum.
Slightly away from the microphone. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you there. You were getting, sorry, I was getting a lot of pop. You know, you're good. Babe Ruth never did that, Brandon. Did he? I don't think so.
Bum Ruth, dude.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
Dodgers pitchers in the NLCS is just a ridiculous video game stat line. Blake Snell, 8 innings, 0 runs. Yoshinobu Yamamoto, 9 innings, 1 earned run. Mm. Or as Stephen A. Smith likes to say, Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Shouts out to my man Mike Muncy.
Yeah. Stephen A. Smith was he's
not a good
of,
Stephen A. Smith impression.
No,
right,
but
there,
he
but
just shouldn't.
Best.
He shouldn't talk baseball, but whatever. Tyler Glass now 5 2/3, 1 run. Shohei Ohtani 6 innings, 0 runs. So the Dodgers starting pitching allowed 2 runs in 4 games, and the bullpen allowed 2 runs in 4 games. It's a combined .63 ERA, 0.63 ERA. Over 28 2/3 innings. That's a 1 ERA for the series, for the whole team.
Those are the kind of numbers you get when you're pissed off and you take it out on a team in, you know, MLB The Show. Like, those are the kind of numbers you get when you're just, like, beating up on an opponent in video game land. Not RL, not in a championship series, not a clean sweep. I mean, Jesse, you and I were talking about it a little bit before we got on tonight, but the Brewers looked defeated going into this game. It looked like after the Freddie Peralta loss that, you know, I had said it was like Bane breaking Batman's spine. It just utter defeat in that moment. And, you know, they had opportunities throughout the series, you know, some huge momentum swings from, you know, that insane double play to having men on, no out, to, you know, having some just breaks go their way defensively. And it just felt like they could never capitalize offensively. And that is just a testament to a just unreal ace riddled pitching staff. That's just a bunch of great whites coming to take your head off. We've never seen anything like this. There isn't any comparable staff. This is just God-tier stuff. Unreal.
Yeah, and not only that, but also just a team that's kind of doesn't care if it, when bad things happen to them, they're just kind of so seasoned and experienced at this point. We saw a lot of that, and you know how they bounced back in the Philly series. They were having really a lot of trouble clawing out scoring runs, and they just found way. You know, the bullpen was kind of like the big knock on the team, and then they just found a way to not give up any runs in game four.
Yeah.
And here we are in this series, bend but don't break. They almost blew a game.
Absolutely.
In game one, and they found a way to get through it. And, you know, credit to Blake Treinen, who kind of had a little bit of a weird outing tonight, but, you know, he rebounded in this series, had some, you know, kind of stepped up a little bit.
No, totally. I don't even want to move on just yet. I think it's important to actually give Blake his flowers. Dude, was the road bumpy? Yeah, it was. But are you dead? Like, he didn't really have any major collapse. The
yeah.
run stayed off the board. You know, that Phillies outing was, to me, way more, like, egregious than anything in this series. You know, if you want to say, well, that's just a difference in lineup, okay, I'll take that. But,
yeah.
you know, the Brewers had the best record in baseball for a reason. It was,
yeah.
And the bottom line is you don't win games if you don't score. That team scored a lot of runs. They were really pesky. They took their walks. They didn't swing out of the zone. And we made them, you know, unbalanced enough to start doing that.
Yeah, and to your point, Brandon, it's not as if, like, Philly scored a ton of runs either. I mean, like, other than us putting in Clayton Kershaw for one inning mm-hmm. too long. Wait, I think he was in an inning too long.
Yeah.
You know, they had three runs at that point in the game. Like, so basically, if you keep Kershaw mm-hmm. out and maybe put somebody else in, that means the Phillies never scored more than three, and then they scored in any of the first two games, and then they scored one in the final game. So, and now here we are, the Brewers only scored one in each game this series. I think that the Philly was clearly a tougher test, but I mean, this is just a testament to the Dodgers' run prevention strategy and the way that they are able to just keep the ball in the ballpark, man. You know, they're just not giving up home runs right now.
Yeah, the contact is all seemingly grounders, bleeders, little flyouts.
Yeah.
The Dodgers held the Brewers to the lowest batting average ever in an MLB postseason best of seven series. 118 for your 2025 Milwaukee Brewers. Yeah, would have really liked to have seen Milwaukee make, you know, a move for a bat at the deadline, try and do something to buttress that lineup. But, you know, Christian Yelich got exposed, pure and simple.
He had a bad series, man. Really bad.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, I don't think he did.
Yeah.
He might have got, like, an infield, like, single or a fielder's choice. But he was the only thing before today's game basically saving Shohei from having the worst offensive series on the field. But boy, baseball is a what have you done for me lately sport, and Shohei, what have you done, brother? What have you done?
He had a hit in game three, and I think that's it.
Mm.
Yeah, no, it was bad. He had bad at-bats, and credit to the Dodgers pitching, but yeah. It was tough to watch the Brewers. You know, they, after game two, you know, losing with Peralta on the mound, and, you know, they had a chance to tie it, you know,
mm-hmm.
if was it Frelick just wears the hit by pitch
yeah.
in game one, you know, let's try and slider hit him. You know, they could have tied the game. It seems like after that, they just, when they knew they had to come back to come to LA
mm-hmm.
down 0-2, they just, it feels like they folded a little bit, you know, and I don't want to discredit the Dodgers win in any way, because this was pure domination in every sense of the word. I mean, Dodgers pitching just shut them down. They didn't give them a chance, but tonight you watch the at-bat quality from the Brewers. I mean, they were just kind of getting mowed down 1-2-3,
yeah.
1-2-3, and striking out constantly. And it was just kind of like, man, you guys are, you guys know that you can't come back in this series. You just know it. You don't believe. There was no belief that they could do it, and you could see it.
Yeah, there seemed like there was like a little proverbial wind taken out of the sails, and I think that is when a group of professionals know that they missed opportunities that cause damage. You know, like we had said, there was missed opportunities all throughout the series. You know, even to take game one back after Snell's dominant start. You know, Roki was in trouble. You had him on the ropes. He had the tying run 90 feet away, and you can't bring him in. You know, no, I can't cry for you getting swept. You know, you had every opportunity to change it. And to this bullpen's credit, to this pitching staff's credit, to this defense's credit, they yeah. made the plays to keep the runs off the board. And there were sterling plays
yeah.
made all throughout the diamond. And I honestly, dude, in some ways, Max Muncy could have even been the MVP of the series. Just great defense, some great at bats, you know. 8 inches away from a grand slam that puts yeah. game, what was it, game two, you know, on ice.
No, game one.
Fifth
game
inning. One. Was it game
yeah.
one?
Yeah, yeah, that was game one. Yeah.
But, you know, my point remains, it's just a lot has to go right. But even when it doesn't, you have to have the resiliency to get back up after your nose gets bloodied. I mean, we saw pretty much everything. Like every one of the guys on this roster made a play, from Tommy yeah. Edman to Kike Hernandez to, you know, well, let's not forget Mookie Betts at shortstop making his own Jeter play to keep a guy off of first base in the ninth inning. You know,
Mookie it's made just that play. Max Muncy earlier, what you were mentioning earlier in that game, this was game three yesterday. He gunned out a runner at home with Glasnow on the mound, runner on third, less than two outs, made a nice, like, sort of like, not a diving play, but had to get down to his knees, make a spinning throw home, like just bang, bang play. Beautifully executed tonight. Kike, I mean, I don't know what the runner on first was doing. This was some bad base running, sort of inexcusable by the Brewers. Like, you already have trouble scoring runs.
You said it, inexcusable.
Cheating off of first base a little bit. There was a line out to left. Kike caught it, and like, not. It was almost like he was throwing it like a second baseman charging to first base or something. Like, he never set his feet. He just sort of flung it from the outfield to Freddie at first base and doubled off the runner by, like, you know, almost like a 2 feet, you know, like beating him by 2 feet.
It was brutal.
Yeah,
it was something that amazing just play, but not happen if you're a Brewer. I mean, you just cannot give away outs. You cannot give away base runners that, you know, were such a premium for the team to get. So, you know, great season for the Brewers. Absolutely so much to be excited about if you're a Brewer fan. What a core they got, young core. But you got to see your, you know, ownership invest in them a little bit. They are notorious penny pinchers and really stick it to their players in arbitration. So maybe this is the beginning of that a change. I don't know. But, Jesse, the Dodgers become the first team to win back-to-back pennants since the 2009 Philadelphia Phillies. You know, just speaking about that play where who didn't lean into that pitch to get hit with bases loaded to tie it?
I think it was Frelick. I'm pretty sure.
Frelick. Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of resiliency baked into the fabric of this team, you know, a guy in that 09 team, Chase Utley, you know, sure as hell would have wore that pitch. That guy helped, develop a young Corey Seager. There's a little bit of that old man, hard nosed, foregone generation baked into this Dodger team. And, you know, a Muncy is wearing that. You know, Mookie's wearing that. You know, Freddie's wearing that. Yeah. You know, any of these younger guys are going to wear it. If, like, a Hi-Song Kim jumped out of the way, I'm like, all right, dude, I get it. New kid out of Korea, different culture. But you got to do whatever you can do to win a series. And it just feels like whenever there was an opportunity for these Brewers to kind of, you know, take that little extra edge in this street fight, they just couldn't. And this older, wiser, more talented Dodger team just proved they were the better team in every facet of the game. And it wasn't as close as it seemed to be in some of these early box scores, because my God, This felt like a real beating today, didn't it? Even though it was only 5-1, didn't it feel a little bit further out of reach than that?
Yeah, I mean, this felt like this just felt like it was over after the first inning. I mean, just to be honest, you know, obviously it wasn't, but yeah. Shohei, oh no, it was Bryce Turang. Sorry, it was Bryce Turang
who
should have taken it. Yeah. So no, it felt like it was over. But I mean, it felt like it was over after, you know, game two, to be honest. And I think that's kind of the point of the series, is that the Brewers just didn't believe that they were going to be able to come back. And, you know, it's just funny because there were so many people before this like series started that were mentioning the Brewers 6-0 for versus the Dodgers in the regular season. And
yeah,
you know, trying to use that as like fodder for why, you know, the Dodgers like are overrated and that they're going to get beat. But then also at the same time, once the Dodgers start having success, oh, the Brewers stand no chance. And
it's not fair, you know.
Yeah. But no, I mean, we're watching, you know, the Dodgers were out there celebrating after beating the Brewers. They almost looked not like embarrassed, but they almost looked like that was kind of like easier than we had hoped. Almost, you know what I mean? Like they didn't really have much to celebrate, like in terms of dogpiling each other, because after they got the final out, they just kind of they were shaking hands on the mound like it was like the 1930s and you just won a game. You know what I mean? They were just business as usual. There was really no there was no big celebration, and it, you know, I kind of just got the vibe like we're watching a dynasty in real time, you know, unfold here. And this is a team that's really, I don't know what just happened. Your mic, there's a
no. You're there.
Humming?
You're good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's something outside.
Okay,
sorry.
Got it. Yeah, no, you're good. And it just, you know, I just can't help but feel that way. Like we're watching a dynasty unfold before our eyes, and you know, and just curious your thoughts, because there's obviously all this talk about the Dodgers ruining baseball. Well, Dave Roberts leaned into it a little bit in his post-game speech tonight. He was talking to the crowd, and he says, you know, everybody's talking about how we're ruining baseball. Well, we have 4 more wins, and then we'll really ruin baseball. how do you think fans are going to react to that?
Oh, you know somebody's going to just lose their mind. There's some Arizona Diamondback just going, "Fucking Dave, you dick." Or,
yeah.
I'm just kidding. You know it's really somebody in San Diego just absolutely just frothing at the bit.
With their $270 million payroll.
Right, small market, poor guys. Yeah. Jesse, you and I have talked about this. It's the dawning of a new era in professional sports where, all right, like, you're a rich guy, cool, you own a sports team, but like, are you investing in it? Are you giving your team every edge they can to be the best, you know, organization it can be? Are you investing in your minor leaguers, your player development, the technology that they use, everything from their nutrition to their, you know, healthcare? Are you attracting, you know, like families? Like, what kind of player are you scouting? Like, what kind of culture are you developing? And these are all like intangibles that don't just come when you throw money at a problem. The Dodgers filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 2011 under the Frank Cortman era, or, you know, the Frank McCourt ownership.
The Frank Cortman era. I love that.
You know, stuttering.
No, I love that. No. You're 100% right, dude.
Point is just that a change of ownership has turned a, you know, iconic but floundering franchise into now a juggernaut that's ruining sports, but it's inarguably growing the game locally, abroad. It's bringing in the highest, not just the Dodgers, but the MLB is bringing the highest revenues it's ever brought in.
And ratings. And ratings
exactly,
are up,
Jesse.
They're the highest they've been in like 15 years or something.
And
like that.
And if we want to build bigger markets throughout the country, you do it by having exciting products on the field.
Dude.
So we don't need teams that are going to spend $60 million for 20 years looking at you, John Fisher. Or, you know, like, for example, Miami should be a beacon of baseball on the Eastern Seaboard.
It's an incredible
Instead,
sports town.
It's a just like, it's a mausoleum of sadness. It's
there
just
was
misery.
There was a
baseball
document.
Fans deserve more.
They do. And there was like this sheet going around that was showing all of the money that the Dodgers spend. And it was, they were like, oh, this is just proof that the Dodgers are breaking the game and stuff, without really understanding what the numbers actually said on the thing that they, on the sheet they were showing, which shows the percentage of revenue invested back into the team. The Dodgers are investing something like 70% of their revenue into the team, where teams like the Marlins and at the bottom tier were investing like 40-something percent into their team. So they're, because
Marlins
they're,
were even less than that, but the Brewers were at 40%. I believe they were ranked 22nd on the list.
So they're
just
trying to maximize profit margins. They want to make the same money that the Dodgers are making, but they don't want to spend the same. They want to act like they're the same. And it's just bullshit. You're like, you're not running as good of a business. If you want to, this is what I made a video about yesterday. It's like, you want to by saying that you want a lockout in 2027 to force the league into a salary cap structure, you're basically saying you want to make sure that the Dodgers can't do any more, make them worse without forcing you to get any better. Do anything to get any better. You want to level the playing field by making it worse for somebody else without you having to take any responsibility for anything. And it's so frustrating to see like people, like just ordinary random people who are like just, you know, going to work every day, not billionaires, defending these guys, you know, who want to do that because they're frustrated about their sports team losing. Like, you're pointing your ire and anger at the wrong people, man. You really are. I'm not saying that, like, the Dodgers should have a monopoly on stars. I'm not saying that, like, the Dodgers should be able to defer money as long as they want to. Like, if you want to change those rules, that's fine. But, like, that's not going to change the fact that your team is intentionally not spending the money, the revenue that they're making, because they're trying to act like they're just as successful as teams like the Dodgers when they're not. They're just not.
Right. I mean, let's think about it, dude. Like, where did Mookie Betts come from, right? From an organization that didn't want to pay him money to the so much so that they're like, hey, if you take David Price, we'll even take lower because we don't want to pay him either. Mookie Betts, or excuse me, Freddie Freeman, another franchise that he was loyal to with his whole career. They don't want to pay him. You know, Tyler Glass now is a trade and then a sign.
Blake Snell couldn't get a multi-year deal. He had to sign a one and done with the Giants.
Exactly.
The Dodgers didn't sign him. He could have gone anywhere else.
We could go back to who drafted him, right? He was a World Series, you know, starting pitcher for this franchise. They could have built a team around him, but instead the Rays let him go because they're busy playing Moneyball.
Shohei Ohtani took his contract to the Angels and said, this is what they're offering me.
Exactly. Yeah. So if anybody should be pissed off, it should be at these bum-ass owners that are crying poor, you know, and going, oh, I can't afford to pay Paul Skeen, so we're going to get some draft picks and then rebuild on them so we can run this all back in the next 10 years. I mean, it's just sick, dude, like, to hear, like, oh, Tarek Skubal's $250 million away from what the Tigers need. It's like, dude,
he's Tigers, getting traded. Like, he's gone. Tiger fans...
What's like a Tarek Skubal worth, Jesse? Yeah. How many tickets are you going to sell over the life of that contract? How many jerseys? How many beers are you going to sell while people are watching him go into the ninth? And you know what I mean? Like all these milestones that a guy can hit, and it feels like it's such short-sighted business because, oh, I don't want to take on all this capital because we want to stay flexible with our investment in case we do want to liquidate and sell the team. Well, we can't have all this money on the books because now our business isn't worth, you know, $1.4 billion. It's only going to be worth $1.18. You know what I mean? It's
no, this like is what they do. This is the calculation that they do. This is how they think. If we sign Skuba to this deal, right, we're going to pay him $300 million or $250 million over 8 years, whatever it is, right? But if we, you know, we'll get more attendance, right? We'll get more attendance. We can sell some extra tickets. But if we don't pay him, we can actually make a little bit more money, even with the attendance that we lose. The team's a little less competitive. We'll lose some attendance, but we'll make more money because we spent less on the payroll. And, yeah. and those are the calculations that these guys make, and they're taking you for a ride. They want you to still buy the product when they're not doing everything that they can to improve the product you're paying for. You know, and exactly. That's how they look at you. They look at you like a customer. They don't look at you like a fan. And this is why you should not defend them and get mad at the Dodgers for doing everything they can to make their fans happy. Yes, they have a financial advantage. Yes, they have an incredible situation with Shohei's contract. All of that is true. But, I mean, like, your teams are trying to save money on what they make in revenue that they don't have to. It's just a fact. Exactly. It's undeniable. You cannot argue with me about that. Like, the numbers do not lie.
There's an old saying, Jesse, you got to spend money to make money. And there's a lot of talk about, like, oh, teams are beholden to their revenue streams. Well, how do you grow it? You make a product that people want to pay to come see. Dodgers Stadium has the highest capacity of any stadium in the league, and they're selling out more games than anybody else. Are always number one in attendance, and it's because people want to come see Freddie and Mookie, Clayton Kershaw. They want to see show. You know, you want to see all these stars do something special on any given night, and it's a shame that more teams aren't investing into that, and you would see more people out, more families out, whatever. I mean, you don't got to try and win. What was the Seattle owner famous infamous
54%. He wanted to get to 54%. And
that's when you're looking at, you know, this game as just a return on investment. This is just numbers on a stat sheet. And that's what we're seeing. That's what sucks the soul out of, you know, America's pastime, out of, you know, our favorite sport.
And nobody's saying you're not allowed to try to make money. Like that's not what anybody's saying. What people are saying is like you're acting like that you can't spend any extra money because you want to make the same profits. It's unfair that you're not making the same profits as other teams. It's like, well, dude, you haven't designed a business model good enough to do that. Like
exactly,
you know,
exactly, dude. To echo your point, like about deferred money, right? Like if you haven't made your business so attractive to a professional who's worked their entire life to earn this bag, and you're going, if you take a little bit less, we'll spread it out, but we're going to get some of the best guys around you, and we're going to go win, and you're going to be remembered forever, and guys buy into that, that's great. But what happens when a guy takes a hometown deal like a Jose Ramirez in Cleveland, and they don't build around him? Where's the outrage? Like as just people who love the sport, I'm not even a Guardians fan. I root for him from time to time, but Jose Ramirez is a generational talent.
Christian
and I would
Yelich.
Love to see that guy get into the show, get into the, you know, the World Series again. Like I would love to see him get a shot. And it's just like, dude, this guy's like withering on the vine and he took a hometown deal. You know what I mean? And it's like,
What the fuck?
I mean, like, we haven't even talked about his comments after they got eliminated. It's pretty it sucks, dude. It sucks.
It does. We could talk about this all day, brother. But at the end of the day, we're Dodger fans. We're above it all. We don't have to worry about it. We can just enjoy this for what it is. It's an amazing. There's never been a better time to be a Dodger fan than right now.
That's true, dude.
Let's really quick just to wrap this up on the Brewers. Don't want to spend too much time on this. What was a bigger nail in the coffin for the Brewers this postseason? Was it holding the raising up the L flag after beating Chicago, or was it Ice Karen at Game 2 of the NLCS? Who was a bigger jinx for the Brewers this year?
Dude, Ice Karen was pretty harsh. But I felt like that was more of a reaction. Like she was like affected by the curse. There's something about that L flag. I don't know. There's Wrigley juju. But it did feel a little bit like job's not finished. You're really dancing on the grave of these Cubbies. Like you got the Dodgers in like,
you're going 36 to face the
hours.
Dodgers.
Like, what are we doing? Right. And don't get me wrong. I thought Uribe's whole dice hang up the phone whole thing was sick. I thought that I love some gallivanting, brother.
You know what that felt like to me? It was like they were acknowledging that was their World Series this year. You know what I mean?
It did. The baseball gods love humility. Like you said, the Dodgers, it was just another day at the office, brother. They were just shaking hands after the game. Like you said, those Milwaukee Brewers were acting like, you know, little brothers, if you will,
yeah,
to the Chicago Cubs. But yeah, I think that there's always bad apples in the stands. We've seen it all year, from the Phillies Karen lady to, you know, just drunks and idiots all over Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, dude, if somebody has their cell phone on you and you know that there are cell phones recording video of you, like, maybe it's not a good idea to, like, make racist comments or do stupid shit in the stands, you know, especially if you have, like, an important job that you care about. You know, it, like, the internet's pretty powerful these days. You know, be careful about what you say. Because if you don't know what we're talking about, there was a Hispanic Dodger fan in the crowd in Milwaukee who was sort of, you know, filming around, cheering for the Dodgers, and a Karen, quote-unquote. I believe her name was actually Shannon. I think I could be wrong, but I think her name was Shannon. And she leans over to her husband and says, "Hey, do you think we should call ICE?" In reference to the fan. It was just a really uncalled for comment.
Yeah, she started talking shit to him, like was calling him gay because he was like insinuating that because he wasn't drinking a beer.
Oh yeah,
he was like, "I'm a veteran. I was in two wars, baby girl." You really let her have it. I don't
well,
feel
she
bad
got
for her
it.
At all. Like, I mean, you had to watch just your team get dominated. You lose your job all because you couldn't just take the L, like that flag you were flying.
That's right.
What happened? It's all fun. We're handing out L's, but you get one and you turn into a little racist so-and-so. Come on, Shannon.
Yeah.
Make
you
me
can be
a
better
wish.
Than that, Shannon.
Make me
you
a wish be... and be better, okay?
That's right. We're going to wrap this up, but we had a really great – we have a great series in the ALCS. Before we go –
It's bopping.
Eugenio Suarez hit a grand slam to basically give Seattle a 3-2 lead, which they desperately needed. That was getting scary for Seattle there for a second. Cal Raleigh, big dumper, had a game tying home run in that one as well. The T-Mobile Park was pumping tonight. It was fucking awesome. And so Seattle's up. They're one win away. They're up 3-2 going back to Toronto. Quick take on that series and where we stand. And who do you want the Dodgers to face in the World Series?
Man, shouts out to the Mariners. First home team to win a game in that ALCS. They were looking like they were in trouble there until George Springer took one off the kneecap.
I know, it was bad.
And it just changed. It just changed fortune. The baseball gods they're funny things, but it's been a phenomenal series so far. It has been tough to predict.
This was the first like really great game though. Like the other games were kind of blowouts, with the exception of game one. But this was like the first like this is a real ALCS playoff game. It was awesome today. It was awesome.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. It did have that vibe. I don't know. Get us to Toronto, dude. I'm excited. I don't know that I have a preference. I kind of want to see the Mariners because I just want to see them get their first World Series taste. But I think it'd be huge for Toronto, too. And, like, I don't know. I think I'm going for Mariners, though, at the end of the day. Let's go.
My preseason pick was Dodgers-Mariners, Dodgers over Mariners. I have to stick with it. I go up to Vancouver twice a year with my wife. That's about like a couple hours drive from Vancouver.
You never invited
Seattle.
Me once.
I know. So I root if the Dodgers weren't in it, I would root for the Mariners. I get it. They're a great story, and you have to be excited for them. And plus, the Dodgers would have home field, and they wouldn't have to fly cross country through international borders, go through customs to Toronto, all that stuff. I think it's an advantage to just stay here, and then two and a half hour flight to Seattle, bro. Like, that's way better.
It would be exciting for the city of Toronto to know that Shohei Ohtani really was on a plane headed
to
the city.
That's a fucking good point. Fuck, I can't beat that, Brandon. That was the best way we could have ended this episode.
Well, why don't we ride it high, dude? That's how we'll get out of here, Jesse.
Sure, well, that's how we're gonna if the Blue Jays win the series, that's gonna be the headline to our World Series preview episode. Shohei Ohtani is on a flight to Toronto.
It's official. Shohei Ohtani is on a
Love
flight
that.
To Toronto.
Hell All right. Yeah, well, this was a fun one, Brando. I love you, and you know, I'm fucking up this, but here, I'm going to do this better now.
Ooh.
That's how we end these episodes. I'm Jesse Rowe, King of Crespi, joined as always by Brandon Bollinger, Lord Paramount of the South Bay in Los Angeles, California. This is Deferred Collusion, coming to you to tell you that the Los Angeles Dodgers are going back to the show in the World Series. They'll either be hosting it at home or they'll be going on the road to Toronto. We will wait and see. But we'll have a little break. I don't know what we're going to talk about over the next few days, but you know, we've got a week off, brother, so let's enjoy it.
Hey, if you made it this far, please do us a big favor. Hit that like, subscribe, talk to us in the comments. What's on your radar? Who's ruining baseball? Is it the big money Dodgers or these bum billionaires not taking care of your favorite team you deserve? Anyways, like always, this is your Blue Collar Boys. We love getting to talk ball with you. Jess, I love you, buddy, and we will see you next time.
We out.
Go Dodgers.